This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, my friends, what's going on? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another episode of the Learn Jazz Standards podcast, here to answer your jazz and music questions 5 days a week to help you have a better time playing music, have more fun, and of course, learn how to play jazz and get better at improvising a lot faster, right? So today we have a great question. This one comes from Phil Burris, one of our Inner Circle members. Let's give it a listen.
Hey there, Brent. It's Phil B here from Atlanta. As you know, I've been a member of the Inner Circle since it started, and of course was a big fan of Learn Jazz Standards long before that. I think you guys are fantastic. I love your approach to learning jazz, and I know I've really taken my playing to the next level as a member of the Inner Circle, so thank you for everything you do. I have a question about chords and a specific type of chord. I hear a lot of talk, and mainly it's from guitar players, honestly, about drop two voicings and how everyone should know them all and use them all the time. I get that they help expand the space within a chord. And I also get how they work well on a guitar in particular due to the way that the strings are laid out. But my question is for all other instruments, such as the piano, where you can play many more than four voices at a time, and even single note instruments where you can play chords and arpeggios consisting of any number of notes in the scale as single note arpeggios and runs. What exactly is it that's so great about these four note drop two voicings, and why should people learn them and integrate them into their playing? Since that's a bit of a leading question, feel free to take the answer in any direction you like. Thanks very much.
All right, Phil. Thanks for the question. This is a really good question. Now, Phil, I know because he's one of our members, is a piano player. So he's asking this question very much so from a piano player's perspective. So for the sake of everyone listening to this podcast episode, though, let's just talk about what drop two voicings are in general and how are they useful. And I'll talk about how they're useful for guitar players, of course, as he mentioned, but also how they can be used for other instruments as well. Okay, so let's start from the beginning for those who don't understand what is a drop two voicing. So to understand what a drop two voicing is, first we have to understand what is a closed position voicing, right? So let's pick a chord. Let's pick C major seven, right? So this is a C major seven closed position voicing. What does closed position mean? Closed position means you're building the chord from the root on up. So a major seventh chord is root, third, fifth, seventh, okay? So root, third, fifth, seventh. That is a closed position voicing. And so even if you're not a chordal player, you know, this stuff applies to you. If you're a saxophone player, trumpet player, bass player, whatever, this applies to you. Understanding what a closed position voicing is and literally playing it just like this, right? So what a drop two voicing is when you take the second highest voice of the chord and drop it down into the bass note, okay? The second highest note of the chord, highest meaning in pitch, and drop it down into the bass note. So this is what ends up happening. Here's our closed position. What's the second highest note from the top? So let's work backwards. The highest is the seventh, right? Because we built it root, third, fifth, seventh. And the second one, the second highest, is the fifth. Okay, so we're going to drop the fifth into the bass, okay? Which means the fifth is now going to be the lowest note. So essentially, I'm literally going to take the fifth and drop it down an octave, all right? And so now we have this. So now the chord is built like this. Fifth, then root, third, seventh. Fifth, root, third, seventh. Okay. That is a drop two voicing. Now, drop two voicings, you don't want to just be able to play it what we just called, you know, root position, right, is what we would call that. Now, people define drop two voicings a little bit differently. Some people, you know, wouldn't call that the root position voicing. I like to call that the root position voicing and then moving on up to first inversion, second inversion. But you definitely want to be able to play all the different inversions, right? So the first, the root position, and then you got the first inversion, and then you got the second inversion, and then finally you got the third inversion, right? So when you learn any kind of voicing, I'd highly recommend to learn it in all the different inversions, right? Because obviously you want to be able to play that voicing in a bunch of different positions anywhere on the fretboard, right? Or on your piano. That's important to me, that you're not just able to play it in one position, like taking the closed position voicing and then dropping the fifth to the bass. Like, that's not good enough just to know it like that, right? You want to be able to play it in all the different versions and ideally in all different keys. And by the way, if you do happen to be one of our inner circle members like Phil listening to this, then the jazz guitar accelerator course in the membership, as well as the jazz piano accelerator course, are going to have those available to you. Okay. You're going to be able to have those drop two voicings and how to actually play those in a whole, in-depth analysis of all those and playing them everywhere in any key. Okay. So that's important. Now, how are they useful? Well, first of all, as Phil rightly pointed out, for guitar players, these are very useful chord voicings because it is often very often impractical to play closed position voicings on the guitar. Sometimes they work out great, like this voicing that I just played. It works out really well. Your fingers don't have to stretch too much. You can play a closed position voicing pretty easily. But in many other cases, drop two voicings and drop three voicings, right? You can imagine what a drop three is. It's dropping the third voice, the third highest voice down to the bass. Those are the most common voicings used as guitar players because they're easy to play, relatively speaking, right? Like, they're easy on the guitar neck to grab them and move them all over the neck in any different position. And so they're very economic voicings for guitar players to play. So it is very accurate to say that as a guitar player, if you don't know your drop two voicings, and certainly your drop three voicings as well to a certain degree, then you absolutely need to work on those because those are the most economical and widely used voicings on guitar for that reason. Now, how are they useful for everybody else? Before we talk about piano players, let's just talk about horn players, right? Because horn players are listening to this episode, or they've already left this episode by mistake, because they think that voicings and knowing voicings isn't for them. Well, no, because I talked about this in a recent episode. Horn players can actually go through and play voicings, drop two guitar voicings, piano voicings, right? Doesn't matter if they're guitar or piano. You can go through and play those and their inversions as arpeggios, right? So we're talking like, that third inversion there. What an interesting way to play that chord. In this case, it's a C major 7 chord. Right? See how you can get melodic ideas to come out of this? In our jazz guitar accelerator course, I have the guitar players do this. I actually have them do this exercise, but playing it across the neck in all the different positions and all the different inversions so that you're like playing these drop two voicings everywhere as arpeggios, because voicings can actually be great sources of different ways just to play chord tones. That's pretty cool, right? Like a different way, instead of just playing, you know, root, third, fifth, seventh, it starts getting you to think, oh, no, we can start on the fifth, we can start on the seventh, we can play a drop two voicing, we can play an inversion of voicing. And you get all these different combinations of ways that you're able to play things. And modern jazz players are really hip to this, okay? So if you're a horn player or a guitar player or a piano player, playing chord voicings melodically. Piano players are really in tune with this because they, I mean, it's very intuitive for them to play, to improvise, thinking about voicings. Less so as guitar players, but still definitely prevalent. But horn players are not thinking about this enough, and they should. All right, so that's horn players. Piano players, when would you use drop two voicings? Well, to be honest, and this is just coming from someone who's not an actual piano player, right? I can't say when the exact ideal musical moments are for you to play drop two voicings. But what I can say about them is that they are so great to guitar players, but they might not be so great to piano players, meaning they're not as essential. But at the same time, being able to play them is yet another option that you have as a pianist to explore harmony, to create voice leading, to create different sounds, to create openness. This is just another thing in your toolkit that you're able to do and able to play. And honestly, I'll leave it there because I think it's actually that simple, or at least I can say that drop twos are that simple. There might be a piano player who would say, actually, drop twos are best used in this scenario. But we also have to keep in mind, too, that when we're comping and playing music, the situation is fluid. We are improvising, and there's probably never one situation where you're playing exclusively drop two voicings here, right? Or exclusively chordal voicings here, right? It's like, it's fluid, right? And maybe, yeah, at times the style calls for block chords, right? Different things like that where it could come about that way. But oftentimes I think that, you know, certain voicings are needing to be called upon for different musical situations as they arise, right? So that's all for today's episode. Remember that knowledge without action isn't really knowledge at all. Remember that a lot of practice time isn't near as good as just a little bit of really good practice. As always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and share it if you have not shared it with a friend already on social media or elsewhere. Really appreciate that. That helps the show, but also it helps your buddies out, and people like people who help other people out. All right. Until next time, we'll have another episode coming out for you tomorrow. Happy practicing and cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.